With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Chris Herney joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That is The Seeker by The Who. Probably my least favorite song on their great single collection, Beady Beady Big and Bouncy. But we're going to day two of our small forward search for the Grizzlies.
It is up at the Daily Memphian. You can read, you can see it on Twitter as well. I've tweeted it out. I want to start with the other two Nets. You had them in different categories, but let's discuss both of them, Dorian Finney-Smith and Royce O'Neal.
Yeah, so the thing with the Nets is, you know, they made their trades last season in the middle of the year. So even go back further, they made their trade to get Ben Simmons, and that did not work out, but yet they had Ben Simmons paying $40 million next season. But then they made their other trades. They were sort of forced into blowing it up, or they thought they were, with Durant and Irving. And in both of those deals, they were just trying to get whatever value they could. And so it happened to be that they got three forwards coming back in that trade. And Mikal Bridges and Cameron Johnson in the Durant trade, and then Dorian Finney-Smith in the Mavericks trade. And so this talent accumulation has left them with a really imbalanced roster. And so going into next season, if you assume $20 million for Cameron Johnson, who's a restricted free agent, that's probably what it'll cost at least to sign him, they're going to be basically at the salary cap, just paying six different forwards on the roster. And so it seems to me like they have to start clearing some of that out. So if they're going to keep Mikal Bridges and Cameron Johnson, players the Grizzlies would rather have, but if Brooklyn's going to keep those two, I think they're going to trade Dorian Finney-Smith. They need to move off of Dorian Finney-Smith and or Royce O'Neal. And I think both of those guys are sort of classic 3-and-D combo forwards. Good defenders, good three-point shooters, don't take a lot of shots. You know, guys you don't get excited about, but guys who can really fit pretty much anywhere, and can especially fit on a team that is trying to win now and does not have a starting small forward, which defines the Grizzlies at the moment.
Okay, so why do you have them in different categories? Dorian Finney-Smith is three reasonably good alternatives, maybe, or three? Well, he was at the top of the list.
I like Smith more. Smith is a little bit younger. Smith is a little bit better, and Smith is already under contract for two more years after this one. So
there are things I'd be willing to trade. How much of it is the contract? Yeah.
It's age, contract, and quality. And so he's a little bit better on all three fronts. And so there are things I'd be willing to trade to get Dorian Finney-Smith that I would not be willing to trade to get Royce O'Neal.
You would take Royce O'Neal off of their hands into a trade exception slot or something. You wouldn't give up a first for Royce O'Neal?
I wouldn't. No, I definitely wouldn't give up a first, but I'm not sure I'd give up anybody on my roster.
Right.
It's the problem. And so, like, the Grizzlies have this thing where, like, they like all their players. And so, are you willing to trade somebody you like for a guy who's on a one-year deal who's already 32 or whatever? And so, like, am I trading Tyus Jones to get Royce O'Neal?
No.
I mean, maybe if they give me a first-round pick.
Right.
But, like, otherwise, I'm not doing that. And then from a salary standpoint, it's not just that, you know, it wouldn't just be like you have to trade Zaire Williams. You'd have to trade Zaire Williams and Jake LaRavia to match the salary. And I'm not doing that either. And so I like Royce O'Neal. I would gladly take him if he were given to me. But the mechanisms for acquiring him are a little bit more limited based on what I'd be willing to do.
This whole thing is really tricky because the only players that they might not like, or that some certain – there are players that Grizzlies fans don't like. Zaire Williams is one of them, right? I mean, at this point, he is
–
we don't know that they don't like him, but we know that fans don't like him. But then the player that fans don't fans writ large, who knows what that means, but fans writ large like Tyus Jones. But he's the obvious one to trade, and he is one who you actually proposed in the Dorian Finney-Smith if he were to be the one who was acquired.
Yeah, I think with the Smith thing is interesting because there are multiple paths to get there. His salary – so one of the changes in the new collective bargaining agreement is they loosened up the salary trade rules up to a certain level, and he is right under that level. And so you could actually trade Zaire Williams and I think John Conchar, basically Zaire Williams and almost I think any of the other small contracts, and take back Dorian Finney-Smith, even though it's only half the salary. And so, you know, does Brooklyn prefer that, right, if they're trying to shave some salary in addition? Would the Grizzlies be willing to do that? It depends on how much you like Dorian Finney-Smith. How much you like Zaire Williams. If you think Zaire Williams is still going to be good, you don't want to look up and you've traded him for, you know, Dorian Finney-Smith, who sort of is what he is. I think the Tyus Jones thing, to me, if everything across two columns, a Tyus Jones-Dorian Finney-Smith trade just it's so easy, and it makes so much sense for both teams. I just think it's the kind of thing where, like, the Grizzlies probably overrate Tyus Jones, or maybe the Nets overrate Dorian Finney-Smith, and it's hard to, like, do trades that from the outside make sense because internally people have sort of, you know, maybe they overweigh their own guys. But if I'm just like an independent basketball arbiter looking down from 30,000 feet, I would just press the button and make that trade and have everyone go about their business.
What is the, one of the interesting things here is that we think about the Grizzlies searching for these 3-and-D players.
Right.
Are there a lot of other teams that they're going to be in competition with who desperately need a 3-and-D? I mean, every team needs 3-and-D players because that's the commodity.
They're the most versatile, useful players to have. Like, you can play, like, three of those guys. You're going to play 3 6-1 point guards, right?
Exactly.
So there's that. But the Grizzlies, as a playoff team that has a hole at their starting small forward, I think – they're higher on the list of like being interested in that kind of player. Yeah. And the range of who I think it would make sense for them to take back is pretty wide.
Okay. Who else on this list? And you didn't carve it up this way, but I'm curious. Let me first do this. If you did that with Tyus Jones, if the arbiter pushed the button and you went about your business, what would the Grizzlies then do about point guard if Ja Morant gets 17 games?
Well, I think it's easier to find – you still have your mid-level exception. If you do that trade, you're trading for Dorian Finney-Smith. You're not signing him, so you haven't used any of your free agency stuff. I think it's going to be easier to find a backup point guard in free agency than a starting small forward in free agency. So it makes sense to me to trade for the small forward and then use free agency to fill in whatever hole is created by that trade. That's something I'll probably write at some point, like, you know, maybe the week of stuff happening. Like, if Tyus Jones gets traded, where would you go? Like, but there are plenty of, like, backup point guards out there. Maybe none of them are as good as Tyus Jones, but, like, that's fine. My thing with Tyus Jones is that he has been very useful to the Grizzlies as a fill-in starter in the regular season. He has not been particularly meaningful for the Grizzlies in playoff basketball, and, in fact, it's not been particularly meaningful for the Grizzlies in playoff basketball, even when John Morant has missed games. And, B, this is the last year of his contract. I think the odds are pretty high he'll move on next summer to finally take his chance at a bigger role somewhere. And so I think it makes sense, A, if you could trade a backup for a starter, it makes sense. B, if you could trade a player who you may lose at the end of the season for a player who you may have beyond the end of the season, that makes sense. If you could trade a player who has minimal utility for you in playoff basketball for a player that has greater utility for you in playoff basketball, that's three boxes that it checks, theoretically, to trade Tyus Jones. And I'm just not that concerned about, you know, 15 or 20 or 25 or 30 or whatever it is games without Ja Morant, because I got to think beyond October, November next season.
Do you know off the top of your head which of these players are available would be mid-level candidate? You just get them for the mid-level on this latest list, which is, you know, 30 deep.
I think Bruce Brown is the obvious guy.
Let's go next. We'll go next to Bruce Brown. He was your number two. Obviously, he's been big in the sixth man role for Denver, big only figuratively because he's small. What about Bruce Brown?
So I think he is he's a strong candidate to change teams this summer. He's been a great fit in Denver, but they signed him to a one-year contract. And so because they signed him to a one-year contract, they don't have what's called bird rights where you can exceed to go over. So they're limited in what they can offer him next season. They're limited basically by the extension rules. And because their cap is so high, their salary is so high, they can't just make him – they don't have the mid-level exception either. So the most they can pay Bruce Brown in any scenario next season is like $8 million. The Grizzlies can offer him 12.2 in the mid-level. So can lots of other teams. I think unless he just loves it so much in Denver, he's willing to sign another one-year deal and wait and get paid later. I think he's going to go somewhere else this summer. And, maybe he gets more than the mid-level somewhere. But I think it's pretty likely he just gets a mid-level exception. And I think the Grizzlies, if the Grizzlies are offering that, I think that would be a pretty good destination for him. He is not an ideal starting small forward. He is 6'4". I'm not even sure he's a small forward. I don't know what position he is. He's just a basketball player. But I think he could play that role short term. And if, Zaire Williams or Jake LaRavia or somebody else pops, then he could move into that super sub role just like he has for Denver. I think he's a good fit in all kinds of ways. One of the things I like about him is that he can scale down to guard guards. If you look at his defensive matchups over the last couple seasons, like Dylan Brooks, I don't think he's as good as Dylan Brooks on ball. But like Dylan Brooks, he can guard, your Steph Currys or he can guard the smaller guards. And I think that utility is important for the Grizzlies. And I like the fact that he could, if someone else pops, you could just move him into a sub role. So I just think he's a really good basketball player. And I would be willing to give him a full mid-level, really, for 3-4 years or whatever it took.
The next name on your list, also mid-level, Grant Williams?
Maybe. I think that's the difference there is he's restricted. And so Boston can match that. And so I think it's likely Boston would match a mid-level offer. It'd probably need to be higher to get them to not match. But you have to consider that, are they going to give Jaylen Brown a supermax? And they know they're going to be giving Jason Tatum a supermax. And at that point, the numbers are going to get so big, do you really want to be paying Grant Williams $15 million if he's coming off your bench and like your head coach wasn't sure if he wanted to play him in the playoffs? And so I don't think he's not as likely to move to me, even though he's a free agent, as Dorian Finney-Smith or Bruce Brown, but that, he needed to be on the list somewhere and I should have stuck him in that category.
He also is more of a power forward.
He's more of a four.
He's like
an undersized four. He's more of a team PJ Tucker type. But if you look at his defensive matchups, you'll see that one of the things I look at are all these players. On NBA.com, it does their tracking stats will tell you the most frequent guys people guarded around the league, which I think was an interesting thing to look at to think about how these players could be used. And with him, the top guys are mostly bigs, but if you start working your way down, like John Morant, I think was in like the top 10 or 15 guys he guarded this year. And so you'll see more guys like that. Sort of infamously, he guarded Jimmy Butler in the playoffs, and that didn't go well, but like Jimmy Butler got hot, but he's a guy you can trust to guard down a little bit. And so I don't think he'd be an ideal fit, but he's young. He can shoot the three. He's got defensive versatility. That's a guy I'd be looking at.
Okay. So then you have a separate category. Those are the first three names. Then you have a separate category, six talent over fit alternatives. And there we have Bojan Bogdanović, DeMar DeRozan, Rui Hachimura, Max Strus, Alec Burks, I think. Yeah, is he in that group too? Let's just see. DeRozan, Rui Hachimura, Max Strus, Alec Burks, and Cam Reddish.
Right.
Let's go with that group. The Bogdanović would certainly be a different approach.
Yeah, I this has never been reported, and I don't know it to be fact either, so don't misconstrue. But my hunch is that the Grizzlies have made calls in the past about both Bojan Bogdanović and DeMar DeRozan. It wouldn't surprise me if they had conversations last year around the deadline about both of those players. I think Bogdanović would be a really interesting guy to add to this team. It would be a 180 degree difference from Dylan Brooks.
Right,
you'd go from a great defender who can't shoot to a terrible defender, or at least a not a good defender who's a great shooter. And so, it would present some problems, but man, it would give you some stuff too. I mean, if you I imagine a playoff lineup of Ja Morant, Desmond Bane, Luke Kennard, Bojan Bogdanović, Jaren Jackson Jr., and like defensively, Jaren has to guard like all five players, but on offense, with those three shooters around Ja and Jaren, would be sort of spectacular. So I can see some intrigue in trying to, like, go that route, right? And with the idea that you still have, you know, you would still have some, you know, your David Roddy's or whoever to, like, to sprinkle in, so you're not necessarily playing all these guys at once all the time. I think that'd be interesting. The other problem with him, though, is he's already 34. He's got, it's not 1 year left, it's 2 years left, so that makes me like it a little bit better. I do think there's a decent chance Detroit might finally move him. A lot of people wanted Detroit to move him at the trade deadline, and they were sort of trying to compete. I feel like with the 6-year deal they're giving to Monty Williams, they're going to be more realistic about their timeline now. So I think he might get traded.
DeRozan?
Yeah, the DeRozan thing is interesting because of just the level of talent he has and with how much he's not only held up but in some ways gotten better as he's gotten older. The issues, there are a lot of issues there. One, is Chicago even looking to trade him, right? Second, the contract is just high enough that it's a problem. If you pair Tyus Jones and Zaire Williams under NBA trade roles, you can trade for something up to $23.5 million. DeRozan's up at 28, and so now you're having to add more stuff to get him. There's a fit issue because he's a ball dominator who doesn't really shoot threes like Ja. And then there's the – you only have him for 1 year, and, like, to me, that's where the Ja thing does come in. Like, does Ja's suspension make it more likely you're going to focus on a year two, year three of this, what I'm thinking of a 3-year window, and not go as all in for a 1-year deal? To me, the Ja thing might make you less likely to go in for a 1-year deal on somebody, which would apply to DeMar DeRozan more than anyone else.
What's the deal with Rui Hachimura, who we now, of course, remember fondly from the series against the Lakers?
I think he's probably gotten a little overrated around the league because he shot, probably maybe for Grizzlies people because they saw it up front. He shot really well in the playoffs. I trust his 4 or 5 years of NBA basketball more than like 3 or 4 weeks of the playoffs. But he's a restricted free agent. It seems like the Lakers are likely to bring him back. I don't think he's someone you'll get for the mid-level. I think it would take more, and it's not worth more. Also, don't think he's a great fit. He's more of a 4 than a 3. He's not a great defender. But from a talent standpoint, if you just told me, like, you can't do all this other stuff above him, but you can get him for the mid-level, at some point when you're acquiring talent, like, you'll take an imperfect fit from the talent. I just don't think it's going to come to that with him.
I recall you talking about Alec Burks at the trade deadline. What's the appeal of Alec Burks? And
I like Alec Burks. I mean, I liked him a little bit more than Luke Kennard as a trade option last year. I was probably wrong about that, but I'd say only probably wrong about that. I mean, Alec Burks does more with the ball. He's a better defender, and while he's not a Luke Kennard level shooter, he did shoot 40% from three last year. I just think he's a good, like, versatile wing kind of player. He's more of a six man than a starting small forward, but, you know, at some level, if you're adding talent, I think he's a good talent. The issues there are he's got a team option, which I assume Detroit will take, so it would be a trade. And he's 32, and he's got the 1 year left on the deal, so it'd be more of a short term thing. And I suspect the Grizzlies, if they're trying to acquire someone from the outside or looking for someone, they would have for more than 1 year wrapped up. But he's another guy, sort of like Royce O'Neal, where, like, if you gave him to me, I'd be very happy to take him. There's just limitations in how you would get him.
All right. And then we went by the way, read the column because there's a whole lot of other names here. Any that you particularly intrigue you from the rest of the list? We mentioned Royce O'Neal. Kelly Oubre doesn't seem like a Grizzly to you?
No, not really. I would say if the Grizzlies found themselves – If they're not able to acquire anyone better and they somehow found themselves with an open roster spot, which that's the issue at the moment because they have 14 guys in their contract and they have a first-round pick. So if they can't do anything else and they find themselves with a roster spot somehow, like on a one-two-year deal, like I'd roll the dice on a Torrey Craig or a TJ Warren. Those are like veteran small forward types who I would characterize more as insurance policy. Like, this is a guy you can play if the young players aren't quite ready for it yet.
Right.
I think Torrey Craig's a real solid, like, 3-and-D guy. TJ Warren has a little bit of upside. There's risk there because of his injury stuff. But he's 2 years – he basically missed 2 full years with an injury. Before the injury, he was an 18, 20-point-a-game guy. He's missed 2 full years, but he came back and played last year. He had lots of double-digit scoring games last season. I wonder if now that he's gotten back, he gets another offseason rest from the injury, is there a chance he bounces back and he becomes something like the player he was before that injury? He's only 30 years old. That's a guy I would be interested in speculating on a little bit.
Okay, yesterday, after we went through that list of names, I said, what's the chances that one of these players will be a Grizzly? And I don't know, we lumped them all together, and you said less than 10%. Maybe less than 5%, you said, whatever.
Yeah, I think that's what I said.
Yeah, less than 5%. There are a lot of names on this list. I think the chances are pretty good one of these names is going to be a Grizzly.
I wouldn't put it over 50%.
No?
But I think it would be dramatically higher than you know,
you maybe still 30% don't, you don't, or still don't think it's, you know, over 50% that one of these names.
Are we combining both lists together?
No. This today's list, that one of these, right, names is going to be a Grizzly.
I'd put it. I'd be inching close to 50, but I wouldn't quite get to 50. Like it is so much easier to not do something than to do something.
Right.
And in all of these scenarios, it's not just your decision to make. It's other teams. It's agents. It's players. And so,
I don't know if Luke Kennard, where he was on your list at the trade deadline. There's presumably
he wasn't. He was just off it.
So there are other players. There are other players on the lists. I guess there's a chance that a player not on either of these two lists could.
Yeah, there's like a dozen guys. I just ended up not putting on it for one reason. As many names as I mentioned, it is not exhaustive, right? I decided, I'm not going to bother putting Lonnie Walker on the list. I'm not going to bother putting Talen Horton-Tucker. I don't think there's any way they're going to get up to the salary number to trade for Tobias Harris. I'm not even going to bother with that. Like,
right,
there are literally a dozen other players I could have written about on these columns. I decided not to, right? I probably should have decided not to on a lot more, but
right,
you have to draw a line somewhere.
It's fascinating reading. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. You can read that piece over at the Daily Memphian.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.